We're talking about how we can have a friend who I have, who says he's a professing believer in Jesus Christ, has made a commitment to follow God, had his sins forgiven by Jesus from what Jesus did at the cross and accepted that gift. And yet, instead of going on a walk of life, he's going on a walk of death like Bill. We're trying to uncover the mystery of that, and we have been several weeks in. I encourage you to go back to the website. You can listen to the messages. You can hear them or watch them. It's up to you. But you get up to speed with where this whole series is at as we continue tonight. Now, last week, I mentioned something that I wanted to make sure you caught. It was just kind of in passing, and I noticed it as I was rereading the sermon. I said this. I said, we also learned how we must enter the road of life and turn off the road of death, which, by the way, we are all defaulted to at birth. And that's the part I wanted to make sure you caught, that we are all defaulted to the road of death at birth. What I briefly stated there is that we're all born, not on a road of life, but on a road of death. We are not initially connected with God. We're not born connected with God. Instead, we have to connect to God through Jesus Christ, and no one can make that happen for us. No one can do that for us. What we need to do is to realize that during the years that we spent on the walk of death, after we have come to Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive us of our sins, we start the walk of life. What we need to realize is that while we were on the walk of death, we were wearing a backpack. Now, you may not have noticed it, but you had a backpack on your whole life. And in the backpack, we were slowly storing things that we picked up as we walked on the road of death. If each of us looked into our backpacks, we would find relationships that we have built and established and wandered into. Inside our backpacks, we'd find friendships that we entered into. Inside our backpacks, we would find beliefs that we gathered on the way. And we would find hopes that we have fostered and dreams that our hearts yearn for. We would find attitudes that we acquired, habits that we learned, actions that we developed. Our mission tonight is to recognize that. Even after we decide that we are following the Bible as our roadmap, as we learned, even after we have entered the gate to the road of life through Jesus Christ, we are still, gang, carrying that backpack. And gang, that backpack is overflowing with all of the stuff that we picked up on the road of death. You're still carrying it with you. Now, do you remember the story of Superman? I was a big fan of the first really great Superman movie with Christopher Reeve as Superman. Well, when Superman left his old life at Krypton, he came here with a totally clean slate. And he found that in this new life, he had almost limitless power. This went great for Superman for quite a while, until Lex Luthor figured out that if he could find, and if he could bring a piece of Superman's old world onto him, it would kill Superman. Kryptonite was the piece of Superman's previous life that Lex Luthor got a hold of. Lex put that on a chain, and he put it around Superman's neck. And sure enough, it almost killed him. Well, gang, the stuff in our backpacks, the old road of death stuff that we have in our backpacks, well, that's like kryptonite to us. You let that stuff near you and give it a place on your walk of life, and your walk of life will perish, meaning you will be placed right back on a road of death, like we saw Bill. We must get rid of our kryptonite, And that's what Hebrews 12:1 tells us. It says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." Well, what are the things that Paul is talking about? What are the things that I picked up? What is my kryptonite that he's talking about? Because I don't want to live a walk of death. I want to live a walk of life. Tell me, what is my kryptonite so that I can get rid of it, right? Well, Paul tells the Ephesians that in chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Let's start right there at 17. Paul says, "And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-minded, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they lost touch, not only with God, but they lost touch with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore." I'm going to stop right there in this passage, because right there I want to look at what we're going to call the old 1-2 punch. The old 1-2 punch, gang, will knock you right off the walk of life. And we have picked up, Paul tells us, we have picked up a piece of kryptonite, and he talks about it right here. He calls a piece of kryptonite that we picked up going along with the crowd. This is punch number one, okay? Going along with the crowd. You can see this so clearly, gang. I see it so clearly in the marketing that we see in commercials. I go crazy with this. I love football. So unfortunately, while I'm watching football, I get to see a lot of beer commercials. And it is astounding to me, astounding how the crowd paints a picture of the ultimate party or the perfect vacation experience. In those commercials, it all centers around drinking alcohol, right? You want paradise? Get a Corona and sit at the water's edge. That's heaven. That's what the crowd's telling us. You want excitement? You want beautiful people around you? Get on the Coors Silver Bullet train, and you got it made. That's what the crowd is telling us, right? This is coming at us 100 miles an hour through TV. I mean, you're like a crazy person if you do not go along with this mentality, aren't we? And gang, I deal with it firsthand, just like you. I work with firemen who include drinking in every activity that they throw. Okay, our crowd screams at us. Everybody does it. That's what the crowd loves to yell to you. TV shows, they show it to be the ultimate way to be and how we should be. Gang, on the walk of life, we will have to learn to be out of the majority. You will be out of the majority if you're going to walk on the walk of life. In fact, we will have to learn to stand alone. When you take the kryptonite of following the crowd out of your backpack, it is replaced with another option. That is following Jesus' life-giving words, as we learned several weeks ago. The thing is, gang, you can't do both. You can't do both and stay on the road that leads to the life you're looking for. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, "No one can serve two masters." Gang, as you walk down the road of life, you will occasionally see others. And if you were to run up to someone out on the horizon in front of you, you can ask them, "Have you ever had to stand alone or be alone or stand apart from the crowd?" And I assure you, every single one of your fellow travelers will tell you, "Yes. I went through a time when it was just me and Jesus against the entire world. I went through it and I learned it was me and Jesus against the crowd." I had to dump the piece of kryptonite called going along with the crowd out of my backpack. I had to throw it away. And now I follow Jesus instead of the crowd. Gang, one piece of our kryptonite, the first one of the old 1-2 punch that we're going to look at tonight, is the crowd. The crowd telling us how we are to treat our parents. The crowd determining what sexual activity is right and normal and acceptable. The crowd being where we look to get our approval and where we look to get our validation. The crowd establishing the standards that we live by. Gang, that's kryptonite. And it will kill you. It'll kill your walk of life. Paul said, I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd. The empty-minded, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They refused for so long to deal with God that they lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't even think straight anymore. Gang, going along with the crowd is half of the 1-2 punch that will knock us off the walk of life. Now, the second punch. Last week, we talked about how you and I would be shot at by our enemy. We saw how the devil is going to do anything and everything to get us off the road of life and live a dysfunctional life on the road of death. Amazingly, about 50 years ago, a man named James Dobson put his finger on something amazing. He said this, so goes the family, so goes the society. What he means is that if the family unit is strong, and if the family unit is healthy, then the people in and around it will be strong and healthy. If, however, the family unit is damaged, if it's not functioning properly, then the people in our society will not walk in the fullness of life, but instead remain lost, walking the walk of death. The family unit, gang, is the nucleus. It is the wellspring of a society. And our enemy, knowing this piece of information, has attacked the family with ferocity. So much so that a lot of kryptonite that is dealt with in our backpacks, a lot of our kryptonite we picked up inside the family unit. That's why psychologists and counselors ask, tell me about your childhood. Tell me about your growing up. Talk to me about your home life. Now, this isn't saying that every family unit is damaged. I'm not trying to say that. But it is by far the main source of dysfunction in many people's life's walk today. How can this be? How could that be? Well, it's in the home, gang, that we learn how a husband is to treat a wife and how they're to treat each other. Has anyone picked up any kryptonite there? Have you ever heard a woman talk down about her husband? That's kryptonite. Ever seen a husband be abusive to his wife? Kryptonite. In the family, we are supposed to learn personal responsibility. It's in the family that we are to learn accountability. Ever seen a child bailed out over and over again by a parent? Ever a child not expected to do anything but play and get everything they want? More kryptonite. Ever seen a home where there was little or no restraint when it came to negative talk? A home where there was just plentiful gossiping, lying? All kryptonite. Ever seen homes with no respect for anything or anyone? Homes with no love, no generosity, no kindness, no value for God's word, no joyfulness, no charity, no encouragement, no self-control, no thankfulness or gratitude, no obedience to God, and no instruction in God's truth and in God's ways, all that is kryptonite. Kryptonite that we pick up and carry in our backpacks. And as we travel down the walk of life, that kryptonite in our backpacks emanates and radiates its poisonous influence on us. That's the second punch of the old 1-2 punch. The weakened family. I started this whole series talking about my friend Manny. One of the many talks we had was when Manny was about to end his marriage. He thought his marriage was finished, and he sat at the table and talked openly about it. So I was obliged to listen. I have no problem listening. But I did ask a couple questions because he seemed to be telling me how unintelligent his wife was and how she does everything wrong. We started talking more and more about it, and I said to him, Manny, tell me about when you grew up. Tell me what the relationship was like with your dad, and especially, you know, tell me how your dad treated your mom. He says, well, you know, in our culture, he says, the woman is subservient to the man. She just listens and cooks and does what the man needs. And I knew right away, he had picked up a major piece of kryptonite that was ruining his walk of life. Gang, here is what Paul says. This is what Paul says about our kryptonite in Ephesians. We'll keep going, chapter 4. It says, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. What this adds up to then is this. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other, after all. And when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead. Be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge, and don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in us is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, and profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Gang, Paul's kryptonite list, I went through this list and I kind of compiled it this way. Paul's kryptonite list, things that we have in our backpack that we picked up on the old way of life, looks like this. Sexual obsession, lies, pretense, stealing. Here you go. The way you talk. Foul or dirty talking, grieving God, cutting, backbiting, and profane talk. Now, by the way, gang, don't think for a second that this is an exhaustive list. This is just a list Paul was making because he knew these people. He knew what they had in their backpacks and what their kryptonite was. Paul is trying to get them to see the issues that have allowed them to get off the road of life and back on a road of death. Whether we pick up this kryptonite from the crowd, whether we picked it up from a weakened family, it doesn't matter. We all have kryptonite. We have kryptonite ways we think. We have kryptonite bends we lean to. And we have kryptonite defaults that we revert to that we picked up on the road of death. So, gang, if we are going to have a walk of life, we have to have an action step. And here is the action step. I'm going to ask the men that I've chosen to come down. They are going to give you a piece of kryptonite. All right? Because the action step tonight is that we must give up to go up. You got to give up to go up. So we're going to use this little symbolism that they're going to hand out to you. And this is going to serve as just a symbol. It's just a symbol of what we're doing. It doesn't really mean that you're getting rid of the thing we're talking about, but it symbolizes it. And it symbolizes a commitment that we can make to get rid of the kryptonite in our lives. You see, as you take your piece, I want you to think about what are some of the things you picked up in the old life. I know I picked up lots of stuff. I grew up in Linden, New Jersey, and I had plenty of friends. I spent lots of time hanging out at the school, outside school. And I picked up a lot of things that don't belong with me on the walk of life. And one by one, we work on these things in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I probably could have filled up a boulder with things written on there about the things I need to get rid of in my life. Some have gone. But tonight I want to give you the opportunity. They're giving you a piece of kryptonite, and there's also pens available, Sharpies. As Miss Kelly plays at the foot of the cross, I want to give you the opportunity to talk to God, just in your heart. Maybe there's something you need to write down on that rock. Maybe there's a piece of kryptonite that you know has to go. Maybe some of the things Paul was talking about. Maybe the way you've been speaking isn't the way you should be speaking and needs to go so you don't wind up on the walk of death like we saw Bill. Maybe there's habits that you've formed that need to go. Now's the time when God wants to work with you personally in your heart and say, let's target this thing. Let's get this thing out. Tonight, as Miss Kelly plays, write something on that rock. And then as you feel compelled, bring it to the cross. Drop it right at the foot of the cross and say, God, I need your help with this thing. I want this piece of kryptonite out of my backpack. I don't want to live like this anymore. I know it's tripping me up. I know it's causing me to live a walk of death instead of a walk of life. And I need your help to start the process and keep it going on getting out. Do your work with God as you listen to the song, and then come forward as you feel led and leave it at the foot of the cross. I can think of no grander sound than what we just heard. People leaving old world kryptonite at the cross. It's process. Some things maybe you'll leave there that'll never, it'll be out of your life right now through the power of the Holy Spirit. Other things are going to take effort with the Holy Spirit. You're not on your own. It's not about willpower. It's about God power. It's about listening when these things come at us. We have opportunities to respond to, are we going to a party? And the Holy Spirit stops you and say, this is kryptonite for you. And then we respond properly. I'm going to ask the worship leaders to come back and give you one last chance to speak to God. Would you just pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to look at how it is that we can stay on a walk of life. And we said from the beginning it wasn't going to be a cakewalk, but that it was going to require digging up our old life and looking at things and going into our backpack and saying, well, this got to go. I can't take that with me. That's not going to bring life. And then being courageous through the power of your Spirit to lose that thing, to leave it. I thank you for these opportunities, and I pray that they would be real, that we would take them into our work weeks, into our homes, and that we would see families that are functional, families that do encourage people. We're homes where kids are encouraged by their parents to understand who God is and to trust Him, to give their life to Him. And I pray, Lord, that you start the work with this, with us, here at Westbridge Community Church. And let each one here know that they can take heart because they're not in it alone. They're always walking with the Savior right at their side.